And we're back. Thanks for staying tuned to WVFF 97.7 FM, and now more true crime in the Lowcountry.
Okay, I'm talking about you, Elaine Greenlee. You killed Stephen Smith.
The
reason it matters is if it's vehicular manslaughter, I'm looking at one kind of sentencing, and if it's intent, murder with intent, I'm looking at something else.
Now it's called a homicide by the state of South Carolina.
They're both homicides, but one is murder and one is vehicular homicide, and they have different kinds of penalties for both. But let's just not be vague. Let's say I killed Stephen Smith, vehicular manslaughter, homicide.
You killed Stephen Smith, yes, okay. Right. And now Paul Murdoch has a chance to go to prison, and he knows that you know. You know that
Paul
he knows that
I
you
killed,
did it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Now he has a chance to go to prison.
I don't believe Paul thought that at all. But anyway, so Paul is being charged with, I think there was three charges
there.
It
matters what the people who killed Stephen Smith think.
No, I agree with that. But let's get with our example. So I'm the person that killed Stephen Smith. I know I did it, and I know Paul knows I did it. That's the thing. Okay, so let's get this example right.
Yeah. The possibility of saying anything about you to the authorities? Are you going to allow him to do that?
It's unrelated. Actually, if he gets convicted of whatever the boat crash charges were, his testimony would be discounted.
Maybe you need to read a book on the mafia and see how this works.
But
I grew up.
This is it. This is the heart of it right here. They're not related. My knowledge that I killed Stephen Smith is not related to Paul getting sentenced in the boat crash case. And you're saying they are. You're saying that the prosecution would care that Paul offered evidence of who was guilty of this vehicular manslaughter. The prosecution
isn't going to
care.
I'm not going to say the prosecution is going to care. What I say is a 19-year-old kid thinks that would care.
Now, if you're saying Patrick Wilson thinks that, I think you might be right.
I'm not saying Patrick Wilson thinks that.
Who do you think thinks that?
I have my own opinion.
Hey guys, we're gonna go over an hour on this.
This is it.
No,
but I mean it is. Because Jim, I think what you are saying is that kids, because you said this to me on emails, so that they may have thought this was important. And you may be right. About that, I agree. I don't know what they thought. I'm just saying rational adults wouldn't think that.
All right, let's throw something out there.
Stop thinking like a rational adult. Thinking like a 19-year-old.
I have a question. We're going to go a little longer because I'm sure that Jonathan is going to do a lot of cutting and pasting in here. Now, my question is this. My question is this.
Frank, you got to hear this. He wants to keep in the part where I'm agreeing with him. It's really important.
All right, and that's important. That's an anomaly. The boat crash kids, all right?
Yeah.
Were they in the same social circle as Patrick Wilson and the other? Were they in the same social circle?
Yes. That's what he's saying. Sean is at Anthony's wedding. Yes, they're very good friends. That's what media missed.
Arm in arm.
This is what Jim has brought out. What? Yeah, media missed.
I said arm in arm, big smile.
Yeah. So that part is true. They're the same group of friends. That's at the heart of what Jim is. One of the important things he has brought out that's extremely important, that they're all the same group.
And not only that, Connor Cook's now fiance is Patrick Wilson's cousin.
Yeah, because of Lucy Altman.
Yeah,
we've talked about this, Frank. Yeah, on air we've talked about it, but. And Jim's the one, Jim Kask, Crime and Kask, CC News Network, is the one that brought this the forefront, because nobody, all of the rest of media combined, never bothered to even. I mean, how can you be covering this story and doing documentaries and not understand the relationships these kids have? But by the way, Jim, you know, the person that I'm alluding to, that, you know, that you were at her house and whatever, she agrees with that, too. She reinforces a lot of what you say. She and I disagree about a couple of finer points here that we've spent a lot of time talking about. But these guys knew each other, and they're close friends, and they're very close, and that should have always been part of the dynamic, the subtext of what's going on here. Because it's not
Frank,
like big cities.
Frank, look at the text editor.
I got it. And who are the principals?
That is Sean Conley on the left and Anthony Cook on the right. And that is Anthony Cook's wedding. Yeah.
All right. All right. That's all well and good. Because
you don't invite somebody to your wedding unless you're close friends.
Well,
I mean, the prom is one thing, but the wedding you're paying for. Am I right?
Yeah. So it is feasible that group, the boat group, all right, had knowledge of yes. how Stephen Smith died.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And that.
In fact, if Paul was bragging about it, Jim, you talk about this, Patrick talks about this, Paul bragged about killing Gloria Satterfield. I always thought about the context of that conversation where he's bragging about it. Is it in the same conversation where Patrick and Sean are bragging about killing Stephen? I mean, it seems like if that's the conversation, when would you have this conversation? I've had a lot of conversations in my life. I'm 70 years old. I've never had one that was so far out of context. You know, I killed so-and-so. I think that maybe they're sitting around the campfire talking about bad things they've done. That's the context where Paul would be bragging about it. And so who else was bragging about? Maybe, you know, what we never asked is, does anybody else, ever brag about being responsible for the vehicular homicide of Stephen Smith? I think the answer might be yeah. And I think that the other thing that might be true is these kids keep secrets and they respect alliances. And what I've been told is that they would never rat each other out. In fact, the feeling is that this was an impulsive act. I think you're right about who killed Paul and Maggie. I think it was an impulsive act. I think that those guns were there because Paul had taken him out of his truck. The truck went to the shop. He left him out there, and there's just a sort of a series of bad things that happened, and then explosive anger. And nobody had intended that morning to kill anybody. But I don't know. You know, you and I can disagree about that. But these kids keep secrets, and I think they're secrets they'll take to their grave. I think that's why people don't come forward and say, "Yeah, it was open."
I'll say it again. There's a $30,000 reward for the arresting conviction of the person or persons who killed Stephen Smith. So feel free to contact
me.
And
right? It's U.S. dollars.
I think, well, phew. Wow, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're making my brain hurt.
Elaine had that extra cup of coffee today. Only one cup in the morning, Elaine.
Oh, my God.
No, we haven't talked in so long. You're the only one I push back on this way. That's not true. But, yeah, you are, actually. Yeah, that is kind of true. And aren't you lucky? Aren't you happy to know that?
I am so lucky.
The opposite. Yeah, you are so lucky. Well, but, Jim, you've got amazing content, and I respect you. You know, I respect you enough to push back, and I don't want somebody else to push back. I want to do it first so that you can think it through. Because I believe in John Stuart Mill, the deep slumber of decided opinion. But I think that you have done more to bring accuracy and the truth to light. I think that this pushback about some of the finer points is important. You may end up being 100% right, and it is true, and I absolutely concede, that you talked to Patrick Wilson. You looked in his eyes. You have the sense. Not only did you interview him, but he respected you enough to allow you to interview him. That means you had to have done a lot of, you know, thousands of hours of groundwork so that he knew who you were and said, yeah, I'll do an interview with you. So kudos to you all the way around. There's some of the finer points about this, but there's something. Maybe you understand it, but I don't, because we don't see this in Seattle, or at least I didn't know it. But there is there's small communities. These people know each other. And according to my sources, including this woman that you know, they'll take those secrets to their grave. They do not rat out. Like, they may have felt very comfortable bragging about who killed Stephen because they could trust each other. They would never, ever squeal. And so even Patrick right now is saying that what Paul said about killing Gloria or being responsible for Gloria's death is sort of a betrayal of the code of ethics of that group.
Right. By the way, did they trust Paul Murdoch? That's the question.
I don't know, but I think they did. I think that they abused
Paul. I guess they can trust Paul now because he's dead. Dead people don't talk.
But was Patrick at Sean and was Patrick at Anthony's wedding? Maybe he's the one on the outs.
There's not a picture of him there. I think he was in Greenville.
Well,
no,
but ask Frank. What happens if you break the group's code? What happens if you rat somebody out? What happens if you break that vow of silence or whatever? What's that called?
This is my whole point right here.
Omerta. But anyway, I don't know.
You put them in a position so they don't talk.
I'm just very, very confused about which individuals would have the wherewithal.
No, Jim just said it. Jim just said it. You put them in a position where they can't talk. That part I agree.
Yeah, but No. What I'm saying is,
might have been more important.
Who had the four? I hate to say this, but I'll say it anyway. I think these kids were punks. All right, that they were more bravado than they were action, and unless you're talking about Patrick Wilson, what's the other guy's name with Patrick Wilson?
Sean Connolly.
Unless you're one of those two seem like they, under certain circumstances, could have deleted Paul and Maggie. But whether the other ones knew about it, I don't know.
I don't know. Jim, are you going? Oh my gosh!
Right, we got
Elaine just finally figured it out.
I'm afraid so. Yeah, I live in Walt Disney World. You know that. oh my gosh! I don't know. I've always thought that it was the right thing to get DNA swabs when they did, but that those should never have been the beginning and the end of it because people have friends. And when somebody works in a prison, you got the friends you have are prisoners, criminals that do criminal things. So I've always thought that what was the first thing that Alec Murdoch said? This has to do with the boat crash. That's what he said. You know, you talk about what he said on the 911 call and everything else. It has to do with the boat crash. And that was very compelling. I don't think he was trying to manipulate anybody. I think it was. It's like an excited utterance or a dying declaration or whatever. He's in a moment of high stress, and that just he blurted that out. And I think it was one of the most honest things that Alec Murdoch ever said. The problem with Alec is he is a manipulative liar, too. So it's kind of hard to know when to trust him. But, hell, you know, that's the same is true of Bill Clinton. And, you know, so just had to go with it. Okay, anyway, so what do you think? This is where we want to pick up. By the way, this is not Article 4, exactly. But
no, because you wouldn't let me finish.
Because it's on your website. People can read it.
No, but we're trying to convey the information here as well. Jim,
Frank, publish it.
Why don't we take 5 minutes and let Jim just give us a summary in his synopsis. All right? Without interruption now. Can you do that, Jim?
Peep. I can try.
All right.
Peep.
No, we're going to... don't make me mute you now. All right, Jim, go ahead. Do what you got to do. Give us a synopsis and tell us where we're going to go from here.
Okay, so if you go to my website, ccnewsnetwork.com, you're going to find the fourth article, and I separate the people. I separate Alex Murdoch as the head of a group, and I separate Paul Murdoch as the head of a group. And the head of a group that Paul Murdoch has, he has plenty of friends that we know of, but the close friends that are still together today, that went to prom together, they're going to each other's weddings, is Morgan Dottie, Anthony Cook, Connor Cook, Patrick Wilson, Sean Conley. They hunted together, they fished together, they dated together, they got drunk together, they did drugs together. Now, what deaths are associated with this friend group? And I'm not saying Associated isn't they are responsible. What I'm saying is Stephen Smith, persons of interest in the death of Stephen Smith, according to SLED, according to the New York Post, according to Fitch News, is Patrick Wilson and Sean Connery. They are persons of interest. Now you have to look at who the other dead person in this group is. Gloria Satterfield. It has been attributed to Gloria Satterfield's death. Paul Murdoch has been. Hunter Cook said it in his deposition, and Patrick Wilson told me in our interview. Now you have another dead person, Mallory Beach. Mallory Beach is associated with Paul Murdoch, right, in the boat crash. And then you have Paul Murdoch himself who's dead, and you have Maggie, his mom, who is also dead, okay? But who is in prison? So you've got all these dead people. Who is actually in prison for it? Now let's look at Alex. Then you got Corey Fleming, who's the person he went to college with, and attorney, and Patrick Wilson's attorney, and he was Connor Cook's attorney at one time. Corey Fleming's in prison. Russell Lafitte was in prison, was just released. He was the banker at Palmetto State Bank. Cousin Eddie is not in prison, but is doing something. We don't know yet. Jerry Rivers is in prison, and Spencer Rowland is in prison. And what did all those people do? That was all about drugs and money, okay? And when you look at drugs and money, did that have anything to do with Stephen Smith? No. Did that have anything to do with Gloria Satterfield? Well, not her death, but after her death, it did. Mallory Beach? No. But after her death, it did. And Paul Murdoch? Why would you kill Paul? What is the reason someone would kill Paul? With the drugs? Well, he really wasn't into drugs. They were bunch of teenagers doing drugs and getting high and using. The people who were doing drugs were in the Alex Murdoch group. That's why Jerry Rivers is in prison. That's why Spencer Roberts is in prison. So you got to look at the dead and who's in prison, and it has nothing to do with people that are associated with Paul Murdoch. And so I'm just saying that the friend group is closely related and associated with the deaths of Stephen Smith, Gloria Satterfield, and Mallory Beach. And who would want to silence Paul Murdoch forever? That is my question. Who would want to do it, and why do you want to silence Paul Murdoch? Because Paul Murdoch just wasn't killed because they were mad at him, that he, you know, drove a boat drunk into a pylon. They're certainly mad that he is allegedly responsible for the death of Mallory Beach. But most people don't go out and kill somebody because, you know, it's a drunken boat accident. It happened? I'm sure it has. But in my opinion, in evidence in the investigation that I have done, it appears that Paul Murdoch was assassinated to silence him forever. But whatever Paul knew, he took it to his grave, and never going to be spoken by anybody else. And if they ever thought about speaking, all they have to do is look at Paul and what happened to him, and people will be quiet. That's my wrapping the whole thing up. That there's a friend group out there that knows a lot, and no one's talking. And the people that are in prison, they're associated with Alex Murdoch. It's about drugs and money. And Stephen, Mallory, and Gloria have nothing to do with it, except for Gloria after the fact.
All right. That cleans it up a whole bunch. It makes it a logical, chartable, you know, I mean, because I'm visual. I like to see, you know, Pareto charts and stuff like that. And
the charts are available on my website.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm there now, but I'm not looking at it. Guys, you're killing me. Play nice.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, right.
Okay, you guys, that's not the takeaway here. The takeaway...
All right, you get a takeaway. All right, that was Jim's takeaway. All right, your takeaway. Go ahead. You got 5 minutes.
Who else? No, I don't need 5 minutes. I just have one question. I mean, Jim has a lot of questions. He's put together some things, and some of them I think are related, and some of them I think are not related. There's not causation in the relationship. It's just interesting. It is a compelling graphic, but I don't follow the logic of all of it. But that's fine. I don't have to. But here's the thing, is just the same way that people knew who was responsible for the vehicular homicide of Stephen Smith, does this group of people know who killed Paul and Maggie? that was, to me, the most compelling thing that came out of this that, Jim, you should be writing about.
I think I did. It's called Article 4 at CC News.
All right, listen, let's go. All right. We're done. If we need some in-depth proof, which we can't, I mean, this is only audio, so we don't have visual charting and things of that nature. We'll have to refer.
Wait. I got one more addendum to this too. I want to get a visual. Let's get, you know, you can do this, Jim. It's not that hard. I want to get the animated version of that boat, the tide, the charts, and how that boat ended up on the shore, because I think if we see an accurate rendition of that, you will understand that Paul was not driving the boat. That's my takeaway on all of this. Otherwise, I got nothing more to say.
No, I don't believe that. You wouldn't josh me, would you?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do have something more to say. Jim, I love you to pieces. Yeah.
All right.
And I think you've done more to bring the truth to light here than everybody else combined.
Jim, Elaine, you're killing me. But thank you very much. This was entertaining, at least. Informative. Yeah. It was informative. It brought a whole bunch of causation and motives to light for me. And listen, you guys figure it out where we're going to go from here. And we're going to call it quits. And this has been True Crime in the Lowcountry with Jim Kask and Elaine Greenwood of Super Woke News. And Jim Kask, Jim, give us your website again.
It is ccnewsnetwork.com.
All right. And this is WVFF 97.7 LPFM, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. And this is Red Brick Patriot Radio. Folks, I thank you too much. We're at an hour and 23 minutes. We'll get this down to an hour, and we're out of here.
Wait.
Go ahead, Elaine.
Why do we have to edit it down? It's just a life. Make it be longer. Don't edit it down.
All right, Elaine.
Just put it on.
Some people just need to be lied to. We won't touch it. It'll be fine. All right. Hey, listen, guys. We're out of here. I'll talk to you later. All righty?
Bye-bye
now.
Bye. Yes, bye-bye.
And that's all the time we have for now on True Crime in the Lowcountry. We hope you've enjoyed our in-depth coverage of the Murdaugh murder trial so far. Don't worry, we'll be back soon to dive even deeper into the case and bring you more chilling stories from the Lowcountry region. We thank you for listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.